It is the last night of shriveled old weazen Arthur Gride's 75-year-long bachelorship. He is in tip-top spirits and great glee, unlike his housekeeper, Peg Sliderskew, a short, blear-eyed woman, palsy-stricken and hideously ugly, and who now enters the room holding the diminutive carcass of a very skinny bird.
A fowl for the wedding lunch, Master. Oh. A beautiful bird. We shall have dinner for an emperor. Don't you complain of the expense afterwards.
I'm afraid we must live expensively for the first day or two, and then we must make up for it, mustn't we, Peg?
Eh?
Oh, yes, she can never hear the most important words. We must make up for it. The expense. Catamaran, go! Go!
As Peg shuffles from the room, the old miser returns to studying the frowsy contents of his worm-eaten wardrobe.
Now, the bottle green, eh? I bought it very cheap from the pawnbrokers, and there was a shilling in the waistcoat pocket. So it's a lucky suit. That decides it. I'll be married in the bottle green, eh? Peg! Peg!
Aye? What do you want?
I'll be married in the bottle green. Brush it for me.
It's a deal too good to be married in, Master. Haven't you got anything worse than this?
No, it wouldn't be becoming enough.
Not what enough?
Oh, never mind. Now, you shall polish up this sparkling necklace, and I'll clasp it round her charming little neck on the wedding morning. Then I'll take it away again next day, eh? Peg!
Hey?
That's the bell!
Oh, I know that.
Well, then why don't you go?
Go where? I ain't doing any harm here, am I?
The bell! The bell! The bell, Peg!
Oh, why didn't you say so before?
With only the light from one dim and dirt-clogged lamp, Gride peers at the necklace and imagines the pretty little neck that will wear it. A shadow falls.
Thieves! Thieves! Robbers! Murder!
What is the matter?
Keep off!
Gride clasps the necklace to his chest as Nicholas, for it is Nicholas, advances.
I am no thief, fellow. I was shown in by your servant and have addressed you twice or thrice, but you are too profoundly engaged to hear me.
Who are you?
My name you need not know. I come here on business.
What business?
You are to be married tomorrow morning.
No. Well, who said I was? How do you know that?
No matter how, I know it. The young lady who is to give you her hand hates and despises you. You and Ralph Nickleby have hatched this plot between you. Yeah. You pay him for his share in bringing about the sale of Madeline Bray.
I didn't know who
you
knew that.
You do! A lie is trembling on your lips, I see. If you were a man with compassion or humanity, I would urge you to remember the helplessness, the innocence, the youth of this lady.
Oh, but I do.
Stop. I will not hear you speak of her. Instead, I take the only ground that can be taken with men like you. Say, what is your price?
Gride looks at Nicholas. He has much experience in balancing chances and calculating odds.
Well?
Let me just open the window. Let some air in. Help! Help
what
me!
What are you doing?
I'll cry robbers, thieves, and murder. If you don't quit my house, I will.
You rat.
You'll bring your threats here, will you? You, the disappointed lover. Oh, dear. You shan't have her, nor she you. She'll be my fond, doting little wife. No. You think she'll miss you? Do you think she'll weep? Well, I like to see her weep. She looks so pretty in tears.
Villain. Base hound, I should fling you into the street.
Thief! Robber! Murderer! Hellfire! Thief! Murder!
This way, young man.
Peg Sliderskew tugs at Nicholas's arm and pulls him from the room before he can do anything foolish, or before anyone else can accuse him of doing so, leaving Gride to lock every window and every bolt on every door.
Wedding indeed. He wants somebody better than his old Peg to take care of him, does he? After all he has promised me. You shall have it all, Peg, says he, when I'm gone. Lies! It's as good as stealing from me. Well, I'll get what's rightfully mine. I'll make sure of that.
The next morning, dressed in his bottle-green suit, Gride leaves the house at 5:30, and together with Ralph Nickleby, he bends his steps towards the house where his bride-to-be and her father reside.
One would think there was a funeral going on here, not a wedding. Look at little Brisker, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was worrying that I'd left my strong box unlocked.
What?
Some robber broke into my house last night, threatened me.
Did he take anything?
No. I fought him off. Ferocious he was, but I scared him away. Left him with a few bruises besides. He won't be back in a hurry.
Oh, I doubt he shall, if you punished him as hard as you say you did.
Oh, yeah. Still, Peg'll keep an eye on things for me, and she is as strong as an ox. She won't let any of her master's valuables go missing. I'm sure of that.
The two men climb the stairs of Bray's house, which seems darker and more miserable than ever before. They are shown into a room, bereft of daylight, where they sit and watch the hands of a clock crawl mournfully round its cracked face.
Have you got my money?
Yes.
All of it?
Yes. Here she comes.
But it is not Madeline. It is her father.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, Mr. Bray. You're well, I trust.
Worse, I'm afraid.
Where is Madeline? She is coming, is she not?
Yes, but she was very ill last night. I thought she would have broken her heart. She's still crying bitterly in her room. But she's better than she was.
She is ready, then?
She is dressed and almost ready. Mr. Nickleby, a word with you in private, if you please. Look at that man. This seems a cruel thing after all. Does it not seem cruel?
No.
It does. It is a cruel thing by all that's bad and treacherous.
Look, he'll die soon and leave her a rich young widow. Miss Madeline consults your taste this time. Let her consult her own next.
I couldn't do anything better for her than advise her to accept these proposals, could I?
Of course not. And I must say that if I had a daughter, and my freedom, nay, my very health and life, depended on her taking a husband of my choosing, I should hope it would not be necessary to advance any other arguments to make her consent to my wishes.
True. But, you know, I had a very strange dream last night. You and I were talking as we are now. Then I went upstairs, and as I stretched out my hand to take Madeline's and lead her down here for the wedding, the floor sunk with me, and I fell from such an indescribable and tremendous height
right into my grave.
Mr. Bray,
do what I do and occupy yourself more in the daytime, leaving you less time to think of what you dream by night.
Bray nods thoughtfully, leaves the room, and makes his way upstairs to fetch his reluctant daughter.
Mark my words, Gride. You won't have to pay his annuity very long. If he's not booked to make the great voyage before many months are past and gone, I wear an orange for a head.
That is good news, isn't it? This must be her.
The door opens to reveal not Bray and his daughter.
What?
But Nicholas and his sister Kate.
It is he, the man that came to me last night.
You might have guessed it. Across my every path and every turn, go where I will, do what I may. He comes.
As the brother and sister stand side by side, a close likeness between them is apparent. More striking still is some indefinable resemblance in the face of Ralph to both. Yet while they have never looked more handsome, he has never seemed more ugly. And while they have never held themselves more proudly, he has never seemed to shrink half so low.
Away! Away! What brings you here? Liar, scoundrel, dastard, thief!
I come here to save your victim if I can.
Girl, retire! Retire, you weak and silly wench, and leave this dog to be dealt with as he deserves!
He will not! And I will not. We come to offer the unhappy subject of your treachery a refuge and a home. If she will not listen to me, she may hear the prayers and entreaties of one of her own sex.
Now, Clyde, see here. For presenting himself in another man's house and interrupting such a solemn ceremony, this man shall be kicked into the streets and dragged through them like the vagabond he is.
Yes, do it. Don't let him have her.
He shall not have her.
This man, this coward, brings his sister as protection, clinging to her apron strings like a boy to his mother. Well, this girl shall be hauled downstairs like a drunken drab also. This I swear to.
Ralph Nickleby moves towards Kate
don't
and...
Don't you dare touch my sister.
Grasps her arm roughly with his hand.
Unhand her now!
Nicholas, with his eyes darting fire, seizes his uncle by the collar, suddenly from upstairs.
What was that?
For a moment, silence.
Stand off. If this is what I scarcely dare to hope it is, you are caught villains in your own toils.
Nicholas bursts from the room and rushes up the stairs. He enters the bedchamber where he finds Bray lying on the floor, dead. His daughter lies motionless beside him.
Madeline, come away. Please. Madeline.
A huddle of onlookers, having come from their own apartments, appear at the door.
I represent this lady's nearest friends and must remove her from this dreadful scene. This is my sister, to whose charge you confide her. Stand aside, every one of you, and give me room and air, for God's sake.
Nicholas kneels, gently unwinds Madeline from the lifeless body of her father, and lifts her in his arms. He bears her downstairs, followed by his sister.
What has happened? What is happening?
Bray is dead.
What?
Madeline has fainted. We must take her to a doctor immediately.
She must stay.
Who says that?
I do. We do.
Stand aside.
I will not.
Listen to me, you cruel, unnatural, heartless animal. Both your debts are paid in the one great debt of nature. The bond due at 12 today is now waste paper. Your schemes are known to man and overthrown by heaven.
This man, Gride, claims his wife, and he shall have her.
That man claims what is not his, and he should not have her if he were 50 men with 50 more to back him.
Who shall prevent him?
I will give way.
One word.
Not one. I will not hear one save this. Look to yourself, and heed this warning that I give you. Your day is past, and night is coming on.
My curse, my bitter, deadly curse upon you, boy!
I warn you, misfortunes and discovery are thickening about your head. Your schemes are crumbling into dust. Your path is beset with spies, and this very day, £10,000 of your hoarded wealth have gone in one great crash.
'Tis false!
'Tis true, and you shall find it so. Stand from the door.
With this, Nicholas takes his beautiful burden and rushes out, carrying Madeline as easily as if she were an infant. No one dares to stop him, and he makes his way through a mob of people to the waiting coach. There he places Madeline gently on the seat next to Kate, and then jumps up beside the coachman.
Quickly, to our cottage in Bow. Make haste!